Good to see you, and so glad that you're here, and I want to encourage you. A couple things coming up just to let you know. First of all, everybody say Summer Blast. Yeah, it's our kids' event that's coming up on the July the 20th and 21st. Don't want to miss that. We are going to have, an incredible time. This is our first ever event that we're putting on like this, and I want to encourage you, get your kids in on this. It's kindergarten through fifth grade, and they're going to have an incredible time. I know my kids are really pumped about it, but I think it's just a huge investment for you to make sure that your kids get things like this. It's free. There's no cost. They're going to have, again, just an amazing time. They'll get t-shirts, and so it's a Friday night and a Saturday deal, and it's going to be awesome. So I want to encourage you. You can go in the app. You can go online and sign up, and so we can, plan for accordingly, and so that's why we're trying to get as many people to sign up now. And some of you have already done that. Just want to encourage you to do that. And then Serve Day is coming up in two weeks, I believe it is now. And today is the first Sunday of July. So it's on July the 14th. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Serve Day just even in my message today. But if you've never been a part of a Serve Day, it's an incredible opportunity that we do every year. We come together as a church, all of us, and we go out and, man, just make a splash of love and impact on the city of Fort Wayne. We have around 20 or so different projects around the city where we get to, man, just show the love of God in a lot of different ways. And I want to just encourage you to this. Don't allow, you know, when you get signed up, don't allow what project you're on to, man, just to mess with you. And I would just say this, that remember that the impact of the person is really more important than the project itself. Can you say a good amen? All right. And so just remember that as your focus. And if there's something that maybe physically you can't do, man, we're flexible. We'll move you around to another team. So I just want to encourage us, man, let's come together as the church. And last year when we did this, we had several hundred of you. And we're a good-sized church, and so we can make a great impact when we do it together. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. But grab your message notes if you already haven't, and if you can follow along that way. They're inside your worship guide or on the screens behind me here this morning. And one of the things that is close to our heart, and Dan Sparling and I talk about this, he's our director over our outreach and our Servolution that we do here at Elevate City, is the fact that we just don't do a once-a-year event and then call it a day. And so in other words, we've just had a dream as a church that we want to be more known for, man, what's happening Monday through Saturday than just on a Sunday. Can I hear a better amen? And so we want to be a church that's focused, man, outside these four walls and making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do to reach people that are far from God, because we realize our primary vision, our primary focus is to reach those that don't know Jesus. And one of the greatest ways that we can do that is through our generosities, through our serving and continuing to make an impact. And I believe and I realize that the greatest gift in life is the ability to give. And I believe this, that there's no greater quality that's closer to the heart of God than generosity. And so I want to read a scripture here starting off this morning in Acts chapter 4, because the first Christians that we read about, they were known for their generosity. And the Bible says this, that all believers were one in heart. Everybody say one in heart and one in mind. Everybody say one in mind. And so no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. I love that because it's such a great picture of the local church, and the local church really is the hope of the world. And I know for me in my home, though, I've got, you know, three kids, and they all don't know how to share real well. And especially my two boys right now. They're 4 and 2. Judah just had his birthday this past week, and we had his party yesterday, and man, it was so hot. But what happened yesterday was kind of funny because Braxton's 2. So he sees Judah's presence as his presence. And so he was grabbing, you know, the water gun, the Nerf gun. He said, mine. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, you know. And so we're having to play kind of referee. Is anybody else's house like this, or is it just mine? You know, and it's just like, no, son. Like, it was his birthday. This is his stuff. But then I'm having to help Judah understand, like, Judah, it's a good thing to share with your brother Braxton, though, in the midst of it. And I know we're trying to help him see it's not his, but anyways, you can see the struggle's real in the Mills home, all right? And so we're trying to work it out. But nonetheless, God's picture of church, of the local church, is that we're a people, man, that share everything. And for our church, we've been built. We've got several values that we have. But one of the values that's very passionate that we're strong about here is generosity. That we've made the decision as a church that we're not going to think about ourselves first. That we desire to possess a spirit of generosity. And that's why we don't charge for resources. That's why we don't charge for coffee. How many thank God for coffee this morning? Amen? All right? And so that's why we don't charge for things. That's why we give gift cards away to our guests, because, man, that's just who we are. It's a value. It's why, you know, from time to time, well, in the summer, we do ice cream trucks and stuff. And why? Because we're generous. We just want to be a blessing. And the other cool thing that's happened at our serve day, we're ending the day with a block party downtown at Weiser Park. And we're doing it. Yeah, amen. All right. And I'm excited too. And so, but we're ending it, doing that with all of us together. And so we're going to feed you and your kids that come. But then in the midst of it, give you a picture of the outreach in the area that we're already doing outreaches in every month. It's because we have outreaches that are happening every week in our church. We've got outreaches that are reaching our homeless. We've got outreaches that are doing that part of the southeast part of our city, nursing homes. And I'm just thankful for a church that looks beyond ourselves and sees the need in our city, that we realize, man, we got tens of thousands of people that don't have a relationship with God, and somebody better step up and do something about it. And there's a lot of great churches in our city, and there's great churches doing great things. We just also realize we have a responsibility, and we're just not going to wait on anybody else. Come on, somebody. And so we've got a responsibility, we got a job to do, and so it's important to us. I looked up the definition of generous, and I thought it was incredible, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. And it literally just means this. It says, showing a readiness, I like that, to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected, or showing kindness towards others. Man, how many want that to be said of you? I just think it's a great definition of just even a life goal that, man, I want to be a generous person. I want to be known as that. But this morning, I want to take a few minutes, and we're going to study a principle that I think is very unique, and a principle in the Old Testament out of Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12. But I want to set up kind of the story. Abraham is in a place that he's getting old, and his son, Isaac, isn't married yet. So here's the deal in these Old Testament days, that the parents would choose the spouse for their kids. How many know, thankful that maybe that didn't happen to you? You know what I mean? Like, that could look totally different. But anyway, but that's how it was back in the day. And so instead of sending his son to find a wife, he sends his chief servant to go find his son a wife. How many like that pressure to be on you? You better get that right, you know? And so a lot of pressure on the servant, and he leaves with 10 camels, and some money. I don't know why 10 camels. I don't know why not 8 or 9 or 11, but nonetheless, 10 camels. And the servant is thinking to himself, man, how am I going to know? Like, think about that. How am I going to know who the right woman is for Isaac to marry? Like, how's this going to work out? And so how many know when you don't know what to do, you better pray first. Prayer should be your first choice, not your last resort. Amen? And so that's what he did. So we pick it up here in verse 12. It says, then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now, this was a significant request that the servant made to God. This was a huge prayer request because he was looking for generosity in this woman. That's what he was identifying as something that was important. And one camel, all right, drinks 20 gallons of water at the end of the day. All right, so it may not seem like a big deal to you, but this is 10 camels at 20 gallons equals 200 gallons of water. Are you with me so far? All right, so then verse 15 says, before he had finished, the servant, Rebekah, before he finished praying, Rebekah, so this girl comes out with her jar on her shoulder. And so then what happens, just to kind of summarize this story, the servant runs to this woman, runs out to Rebekah, and he says, can I have a drink of water? And she responds, I'll give you a drink, but not just you, but your 10 camels too. So your camels are also going to get waters. Now there's 200 gallons that are drawn with a 5-gallon jar that she's carrying. Now this is, I don't know if this is the right size or whatnot, but it's close enough. So here she is. This is just for point of reference. But she's got her gallon. She said, hey, I'm gonna do the gallons of water for your camels too. But that's 40 trips. Everybody say 40 trips. I mean, that's a lot of trips for some water for some camels that ain't your camels. And also got some water for him too. 40 trips at a conservative maybe 3 minutes each is roughly, we'll say, is about 2 hours time. So here she is doing something that is way beyond herself that she realizes she doesn't have to do, but what she had was a spirit of generosity already about her. The generosity is not something you do, it's who you are. And I pray that even today for some of us, if we don't have that maybe in motion in our life, that it's something that you become. I love hanging around people that are selfless, that are generous, that have that heart to give and want to be a blessing and serve and make an impact. But when she finished, Abraham's servant for proposal, now, ladies, you'll appreciate this. The way that ladies were proposed to back then is with a nose ring. How would you like that, ladies? Instead of a ring, you get a nose ring. And so she accepted. She accepted the gold and the jewelry and the proposal and said yes. And I think this is a little lesson for all the single guys in the building today to learn from. That this woman, Rebecca, hadn't even seen Isaac yet. But when jewelry came out, she said yes. Come on, somebody. Just trying to help my brothers out here in the building today. Come on, in church. Little did she realize how this act of generosity would actually change the world. And it's interesting that here in 2018, we're still talking about her story. And here's why it changed the world, because she became the great, 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 37 times great grandmother of Jesus. Talk about leaving a legacy. How many say, man, I want to leave a legacy? I don't want to just, man, when I die, I don't want to just, you know, just wash up and hadn't made an impact on anybody's life and everybody just forgets. But I want to be known for making an impact and touching the lives of other people, because we choose to be a generous people that live beyond ourselves. And so that's the heart of God for us. And so Rebecca went the extra mile. She was generous. Her attitude, I think, stands in stark contrast to the attitudes that we see today. Rebecca says, I'll do what you ask and I'll even do more. I'll go further. I'll grab the bucket. I'll take 40 trips, whatever it takes, and I'm going to make sure this becomes a reality. And little did she know, man, that she was going to get proposed to. Are you with me so far? And today people say, man, I'm going to do, this is just kind of an attitude of culture, the least that's expected of me, and try to get the most out of it. But she models for us an important life principle. And I want to give you some principles today, five of them that I think are very important that we're going to be able to pull from her life and her story that we can learn. First of all is this, jot this down if you're following along in our notes this morning, that you can't be generous and legalistic at the same time. You can't be generous and legalistic at the same time. The thing about Rebecca and her heart is there was a spirit of generosity. In other words, what I mean even by this point of you can't be generous and legalistic at the same time is you can't count the trips. It's something that goes beyond that. God is not looking at the number of trips. God is looking at the attitude of the heart. And he's very interested in the motive of our heart and why we do what we do. Are we just looking to do something in order to get something back? Or are we looking to do it just to be a blessing? Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? And so she had a generous heart, a generous spirit. The thing that drove Jesus nuts in his days was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious ones, because they were constantly trying to measure their religion. They were always counting. They would tithe their spices, and if they were going out and using salt, they would literally shake the salt out and count 9 grains of salt and give the one to the Lord. That's how they did it then. They were so meticulous that they missed the point that you can't keep score with God. You can't do it. And we have to, this is why God is trying to get this in our spirit, get this in our heart, because generosity is a privilege, not an obligation. It's something that God desires for his people to possess, that when we see people in need, that we just don't look by them, that we respond and say, man, how can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I be a blessing? Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 9 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Read this last part with me. For God loves a... I love this word, cheerful. Because cheerful in the Greek is the word hilaros. And you know what it means? It literally means to have loads of fun. Can I just tell you, part of this journey that we need to understand with God is God wants you to enjoy this life. It's not supposed to be just endured. Woo! Just trying to get through. Like, he wants you to enjoy this, but have loads of fun making an impact, because it's better to give than it is to receive. And on Serve Day in 2 weeks, man, we're going to make such a huge splash in our community, man, where we're going to, you know, I'm not so much focused on the projects, because that's going to impact and that's going to affect. But what the greater impact is when these people get ministered to and touched by real people who have our own real issues that say, man, we care. We love you. There's a church on the northwest side and a church soon to be downtown that care about you. Did you notice what I just said? All right. I'm just planting vision. Get ready. And so here's the second point. Is that why you can't walk the second mile until you've walked the first? You can't walk the second mile until you've walked the first. In other words, here's what I'm saying. You know, you may have heard this. It's easy for people to say what they intend to do. Well, you know, I would do this if I had more time. I would do this if I had more money. Well, if I win the lottery, then it all's going to change. But God is saying this, you need to start with what you have. Look for opportunities to be a blessing and serve others. Be generous, God is saying, with what is in your hand, with what I've given you to do. God is looking for faithfulness. Can I just tell you, God is looking for faithfulness in the small stuff. That may not seem like a big deal to anybody else, but I promise you, God is paying close attention to the motives and the desires of our heart and is watching your heart in action. For the person who's faithful, man, to pray for services, I believe some of the greatest people that are going to receive some of the greatest rewards are not going to be pastors and preachers. It's going to be those who have been praying and laboring for them. Those who have been serving. Those who have been out in the trenches and making such an impact. Come on. And I believe that we've got to understand this principle because it's so important. God is interested in your faithfulness in the small stuff. That's why you can't be stingy. Man, I don't like stingy people. Because stingy, selfish people die alone. And I've did some of those funerals, and it's sad. But they're dreadful. Selfish people are dreadful to do life with. I mean, selfish people nauseate me. They just do. I remember sometime, it was years ago when I was in Columbus, and I needed a ride somewhere, and I got to where I needed to be, and the person, and it was like, you know, 10, 15 minutes away, true story, and they said, oh, man, they asked me, they drove me, but then they say, hey, man, can I get a few bucks for gas? I was like, for real? You know, I was shocked. I thought, man, it was just like 10, 15 minutes away. I thought, man, you stingy. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'd drive you if I had it. You know what I mean? And so here's what I'm saying. Being selfless, being in a place that, man, that we aren't stingy. And you know, there's people that have needs all around us constantly. Man, buy somebody a cup of coffee. You know, at Starbucks or whatever you do, wherever you go for coffee. You know, be a blessing to others. Think about other people. And, you know, when you're out, maybe mow somebody's lawn. Maybe weed whack their lawn, you know. I've been trying to help my neighbor with that. Lord have mercy. Because I think everybody has that neighbor in the neighborhood where it's like the grass is tall. And if you don't know who that is, it might be you, all right? So I don't know. So we might need to, anyway. So just trying to help, all right? But be generous. Everybody say be generous. Matthew 25, Jesus said, his master replied, well done and good and faithful servant. Which I just want to stop right here, because the greatest words that you and I ever should want to hear in our life is when we get to eternity in heaven and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. My greatest hope in everything that I do is that when I get to heaven that I hear those words, well done, Kyle, my good and faithful servant. Amen? And it goes on to say that you have been faithful, notice this, with a few things. Because of that I will put you in charge of many things. And what happens is we get frustrated at God. Because I haven't seen the promise yet. I haven't seen this happen yet. What's God waiting on? And I'm telling you, God's not waiting on anything. If he's waiting on anything, he's waiting on you. You'll never get to the promise without the process. So many people don't want to embrace the process in their life. They try, you know, we try to cut corners to get there, and our American culture, we see it a lot. because we have everything at our fingertips now. But God is saying, man, there's a process that you've got to go through. I've got to make you into the man and the woman that I need you to be, especially if you're going to run this thing with longevity. You've got to embrace whatever small things are around you or whatever God has put in your hand. Be faithful. And if you're faithful with the small things, God's saying, hey, then I can entrust you with more. But God is saying, I can't trust you with more if you're not faithful with what I've given you first. So we can't get mad at God. That comes back to us. We need to take responsibility for us. We're the result of our own choices and our own decisions. And we have to not blame shift all the time. We've got to take responsibility for us. You're preaching good, Pastor, man. Thank you guys so much this morning. I really feel it, all right? Matthew 5 says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. If you see somebody in need, that's a generous spirit, man. How can I help? How can I be a blessing? Even the small acts, jot this down, of generosity make a difference. They really do. For some people, they would look at Rebecca and they'd say, man, your story is just water. But her story of getting water for a bunch of camels and this man that she's never met affected generations to come and came into marriage to a great man of God because of her obedience. Simple acts of kindness can make such an incredible difference. For some, it might be a tip at lunch today for your waitress or waiter. Can I tell you, just because I've had friends that have waited tables, Sundays are some of their toughest days. Let me just help the church for a minute, can I? Because church folk don't know how to tip right. Go there, Pastor. Okay, I will. So I'm just saying, let it be known for us as a people of Elevate City that, man, when we go, man, bless people. Take care of your waiter and your waitress, even if they're having a bad day. Even because, man, we don't have a clue what people are going through. And just realize the importance. And, you know, I've told people, man, and I've said this before, I just think it's a good reminder. Because, that man, some of this, oh, man, some of these Christians, God love them, you know, they'll just walk away leaving some change on their table and a track. Are you kidding me? Like, let me tell you what you can do with the track. But anyways, what I'm saying is, can I just be real for a moment? We need to love people, man. And when it's good, when it's bad, we need to realize people are going through stuff. And they don't need us some of the time, man. Either we're going to embrace this thing called Christian life, or we're just going to stand back and talk about doing it. I'm beyond the days of talking, y'all. We are desiring a church that moves in power, moves in action, that moves in not just our word, but moves in the strength of God and reaches beyond where we're at. See, I got a little attitude about it because I'm just telling you, man, we reach a lot of unchurched people all the time. And we need to realize our witness goes everywhere and people are watching us. And we need to make a difference. I'm not trying to offend nobody this morning, but what I am trying to do is call us to a reality that is happening today. And we need to be called to an awareness and understand, man, people are watching and we need to let our light shine bright and love people well. Because people matter. And because people matter to God, they matter to us. I'll never forget Christmas morning, 2017. Y'all remember we had a great Christmas Eve. Snow came down, you and I woke up, and it was a white Christmas. Y'all remember that this past year? No? Okay. Well, think about this courtesy. Just say, yeah, Pastor. No, yeah, Pastor, you know. And so we did. And so I remember getting up, and I thought, man, yeah, man, I'm so pumped to go shovel that snow. Praise God. You know, I just got so excited about that. And I thought, man, I can't wait to get my gloves on. I'm just kidding. I'm so sarcastic. Like, that was the last thing I wanted to do. I'm like, serious. So anyways, I get out there, and I shovel the snow, and I do what I was supposed to do. And then I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, hey, shovel your neighbor's drive, too. Lord, it's cold out here. Like, it's Christmas. You know, the kids are waiting on me to get on inside. And it hit me. I thought, it's Christmas. I thought, isn't that what it's all about? And so I started shoveling the walk. I had to get over my little attitude for a minute because it was cold. And finally, I got over it and started shoveling the drive. And Ashton and Bethany is looking out the door and said, baby, what are you doing? I said, God told me to shovel the drive. I'm shoveling it. Shoveling the drive. Stay warm. It's fine. So I shoveled. I got done. It was a blessing. I went warmed up. and didn't think any more about it. Week and a half or so later, my neighbor, we were outside and shoveling again. And imagine that. But my neighbor comes over. He said, hey, Kyle. He said, man, did you shovel my driveway, you know, on Christmas? I said, you know what? I did. I said, just want to help. It's going to be a blessing. He said, and this is our neighbor's. The husband doesn't know Christ. And the wife has been trying to get him to church, and we're working and just continue to try to show a lot of love. And he said, man, you'll never know what that meant to me and my family. He said, I don't know if you know, but he said, man, I've been in and out of doctors. He said, I've been so sick. And he said, when I came home and saw my drive was shoveled, he was like, it just did something for me. And it's like, God, I don't know the Lord. You know, he's just speaking a language you really didn't know, and all he just kept saying was thank you. And all I'm saying is, man, you never know what kind of impact you'll make, and you never know what people are going through. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Are you with me? All right, you having fun? Matthew 10:42 says, if anyone gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I'll tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Here's the other thing you need to know. When you give to the Lord. Remember this, when you and I get to heaven, there's two big questions we need to know how to answer. God's going to ask us, what did you do with my son? What did you do with him? And then he's going to ask us, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? For some of us, maybe you don't know what your gifts are yet. That's why we have Growth Track every week. It's at 11:15. It's during this service. You can either just come to the 11:15 time, and your kids can be a part of our kids' ministry, or you can, if you want to be a part of the first service and then go to Growth Track, you can. We're passionate about helping people find their place and find their purpose in life. Because this life will never make sense until you find and discover your purpose. Are you with me? Matthew 25:40, it says, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus said, man, you did for me. So as you impact others, you did it for me. And when you give, the impact of your generosity often outlives you. As we're learning here with Rebecca's story, it's not just for the moment. Giving has an impact on the lives in the future. And I don't know about you, but I want to teach my kids this principle of generosity, to go beyond themselves and to live a life that's selfless. That's why having your kids at this kids' blast is important. Having them with you on serve day is important. Why? Because we need to teach our kids. And we need to help them understand the value of what it means to make a difference in the lives of others, even at their age. I love that one of our teenage boys, I just saw him, little Joey, man, my man, gave him a high five on the way in because he's back here ushering. You know what I love about that? I love one of our teenagers, man, has just caught the vision. Just, man, there's a need. I want to help. And I just love that, man, we're seeing teenagers and our kids are getting this. And parents, I'm just challenging us, man. It's on us. It's on us. I don't want schools raising my kids. I want to raise my kids. I don't want somebody else doing it. I want the church helping me do it. Come on, church. Are you with me? And we're going to do it. We've got great kids' ministries, student ministries that are available. And I'm just telling you, man, it's in my heart that we see this generations go way beyond you and I and do more for Christ. Are you with me? That's why we need to make sure we're doing that. And I'll just say this. I'll just kind of plug it early. Bethany and I have been talking about this for months. Just been on our heart for months that we want to do a parenting small group in the fall. And so I think it's something we're going to do. We're just going to open up. It's just something that's on Beth and I's heart to help us and to help our kids and our moms and dads because we know it's tough. It's tough in 2018. And so we just want to help. And as your pastors, man, we just want to connect with you and we want to help you in this journey and be arm in arm. Amen? Amen. And so here's what I know. John 4:38, I sent you. This is a great verse. Jesus said, I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. This is pretty cool. Watch this. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. I know that Elevate City is reaping what others have sown. So what do you mean, Pastor? Those who have come before us in Fort Wayne, prayers that have been prayed, people that have sought God, we are reaping the benefits. And what a blessing. And so it's important to understand, let it be known that we are a generous church and people. And sometimes people will think, well, man, is there a catch? No, there's no catch. Man, that's just who we are. We are a generous people. So how do we do this? How do we live a generous life? We got to believe this principle. Acts 20:35, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Isn't it cool when you give a gift to somebody and you watch them open it and they like it? As opposed to not locking it, right? But the joy that it brings you to know that, man, that you gave them something that was a blessing, something that they actually liked. And I believe generosity involves a few things, four things really, that are our most, listen to me, valuable resources. On the back of your message notes, I messed up. There should be a number four on there, so you just have to add a number four in there, all right? But the first one is this, is our time. Think of ways that, man, you can use your time. For some of you, you may have coworkers that are going through it right now, or maybe their family's going through it. Man, don't be afraid to reach out and say, man, is there anything we can do to help? Is there anything I can do to help? Maybe it's something that you share with your small group. There's a need that's going on. Maybe it's a meal that needs prepared. Are you with me? Ways that we can help. Ways that we can use our time to invest in our kids. Parents, they need you. And they need our help. And so we invest in them and serving others. Our talent is the other thing. Everyone is a 10 at something. Can I tell you, every single person is awesome at something. The people sitting next to you are incredible at something. And that's what makes the church so powerful, is the diversity of gifts. It makes the church unstoppable with God. And we use them for the kingdom. And I think one of the coolest things that's been happening this semester, or the past semester, even with small groups, is seeing so many new leaders rise up and saying, man, I'm going to live beyond myself. I'm going to start this small group. I'm going to start this new ministry. I even was talking with a few that have a couple new outreach small groups they're wanting to do because they see the need. One of the girls in our church, I love it, was talking about the need at the children's hospital there at Lutheran. And I was sharing with her something that we used to do, and one of the ladies that led the small group moved away. But one of the ministries that was happening is, for those, a lot of you guys probably have no idea about this, but over at Lutheran at the children's hospital, there's a lot of babies that are born, but there's no parents. And one of the things that they need is just people to hold babies because they need the touch, the physical touch. Are you with me? And so that small group, the only thing they did, they would go up to that floor and they would hold babies and they would pray over those babies. That's ministry, because those are little lives that, guess what, may not have a mom or dad, but the church that is the hope of the world. Everybody's going to step in the gap and step in places where the world may not respond. We're going to respond for the glory of God because we understand our mission. And we're going to touch people for Jesus. I love it. So I don't know, for some of you, you may be in a place today that you are figuring out what it is, what your small group is, or the ministry and the call. And so I want to encourage you with that here this morning. Here's the third thing. The third thing is this. And I think this is so important, is our treasure. And I wanted to just give you kind of something personal from Beth and I. Just, this is the Mills family. This is kind of just our values that we have, that we lean in on, and we live by this. And it's just our giving covenant that we have to God. Because I think we can just bypass treasure, talk about it quick, and then move on. But I wanted to give this to you so you could see just kind of how we do the Mills home and how it looks in our house. So this is what I, again, just call our giving covenant to God. First of all, a value that we hold very strong is that God owns me. God owns us. And everything that we have is a gift from God. We're owners of nothing, but we're stewards of everything. That God has called us to steward and to manage well that which He blessed us with. You have to see everything that God has as a gift. Your time, your next breath, guess what, is a gift from God. Thank God you didn't wake up dead this morning. Right? Every breath is a gift. We're not promised tomorrow, gang. You have to see it. Everything that you have is a gift from God. All right? And the other thing that we do before we make decisions as a family, we always go to prayer first so that God will give us the wisdom before we make decisions in our life. Here's the second thing, and this is, again, just this is the millstone for us, but this is important to God, is that we set aside our tithe first and we treat it as holy. Because God says it's important and God says it's holy. That word holy means to be sanctified or set apart. Then it's important to us. And so tithe isn't the ceiling, but it's the beginning point. And I sow it, and as Scripture tells us, may we sow it into the storehouse. So where, man, where we receive from and where we feed from is, man, where we sow at. And so that's where we are called to that. What's tithe? It's 10%. Of our income, offering anything above that. And so we just honor God, and it's been a conviction in our life, and we've seen God move. I've been doing it since I was a boy, 13, had my first job. always seen God move. Here's the next one for us is we give from whatever's left over. Our heart is to be generous on every occasion. We always want to choose to be a blessing. We don't want to withhold. We want to give. And even just this past week or so, Bethy and I, we have a pastor's, one of our overseers in our life, that man, their family has just been going through literal hell. And their daughter for a season has been fighting for her life. She's about 19 years old, just going through it. And I mean, it just grabbed my heart. And I went to Bethany, we talked about, said, we got to do something just to let them know how much we love them and be a blessing. And so we just shipped something in the mail for them and the kids. Why? Just because, man, we want to be a blessing. We want to be generous. We want to be able to do that and to be generous on every occasion. And here's the last one that's important to Bethany and I, too, is that we avoid debt and mismanagement because we are a manager and we will be held accountable. And again, this goes back to being faithful with the small things. Are you with me? And then here's the final thing that we can do to be generous and be a blessing, and that's our touch. I love this because this is something that Elevate City does real well. One of the great things that we see on connection cards and emails that come in is the people that talk about the smiles, but they talk about fist bumps and high fives. I love it. And I believe there's a few ways that you can touch other people. The first way is your smile. I mean, no, a smile doesn't cost anything. My goodness, we need more smiles. That's one of the reasons why I love this church, because I see people smiling. And Scripture says, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We just always dreamed of a church where people are actually excited to go to church. Imagine that, being cheerful, having loads of fun. Church, that's what His church looks like, everybody. All right? And kind of church I came from, man, it was hard. Like, man, even go to the bathroom, the ushers were mean mugging me. I'm like, man, I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. Like, giving me the stare, you know? Like, our ushers won't do that. I'll tell you that right now. But a smile. And because how many know we have enough sometimes negativity through the week? Man, smile goes a long way, doesn't it? Second thing is sympathy. Be a great listener. Man, if there's anything that people need is people to listen, not just tell them their answers all the time. Listen. Listen to each other. Be sympathetic. Three is our speech. Encourage somebody. Man, speak life. Everybody shout, speak life. Yeah, be a person that chooses to speak life. Four, serving. Man, find ways to serve. You can serve Sundays with us on our dream team. There's room, plenty of room for you here as we continue to grow and make a difference. Serve out at your workplace, in your neighborhood. There's ways to serve. Serve at Serve Day. Our blue tent's going to be out there. Our team's out there today. You can get signed up, ask any questions. And then here's the fifth thing. It's just sacrifice. Make the decision that, man, I'm going to pay the price to make a lasting impact in my life. It's no longer going to be about me. It's going to be about, man, reaching and doing ministry through my life and whatever God wants to do. I have found this, that serving other people actually brings great healing to my life. It really does. Every time I serve somebody, honestly, it doesn't not just encourage me, but it brings healing to me. Some of us, we need that today. 2 Corinthians says this. We read part of this verse. We're going to read the whole thing now. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Again, it shouldn't be out of duty or, man, I have to do this. It should be a desire. For God loves a cheerful giver. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. If this is hard for you, let me just say this, and I just want to talk to you very honestly. If this is a hard topic for you, it's not a people issue, it's a heart issue. And you need to go to God and work that out with your heart and help God to have you and to make you become the person, the man, the woman He wants you to be. But I'm so glad that Rebecca didn't say, man, I don't do camels. You know, her generosity affected you and me. Aren't you glad? And I'm glad that on our launch Sunday, March 18th, 2012, that our launch team that morning who was launching our church didn't wake up and say, man, Kyle, I don't do church plants. I'm so glad. I'm glad the dream team this morning didn't wake up and say, man, we don't do nurseries. Or our prayer team, we don't do intercession, we don't do prayer. I'm so glad they didn't do that, aren't you? I mean, imagine what the world would be like if Michelangelo had said, I don't do ceilings. Imagine what the world would be like if Noah had said, man, I don't do boats. I mean, think about it. Imagine what the world would be like if David had said, man, I don't do giants. Think about it, church. Imagine what the world would be like if Mary had said, man, I don't do virgin birth, sorry. Imagine what the world would be like if Paul said, man, I don't do letters. Imagine what the world would be like if Jesus had said, I don't do crosses. I'm just telling you, man, there's something in each and every one of us that we can do to give our life to make an impact for other people. And I finish with this verse, Acts 15. It says, we are saved. Actually, would you read this with me? We are saved because Jesus, out of sheer generosity, he was moved to save you and me. Would you bow your head? God, we thank you this morning for the incredible love of who you are to us. Lord, I know this word today is challenging for some of us, encouraging for others. Maybe it's new for others even here today, but more than anything, God, what we want is you. And Father, what you're asking of us is to make a decision that we're going to live beyond ourselves. And we're going to look out for the best interests of other people, believing the best, finding ways to serve, finding ways to be a blessing. Lord, each and every breath that every single one of us are taking right now is a gift from you, and we're thankful for it. Thank you that you got us up this morning. And because you got us up this morning, that means this: we still have purpose. We have a destiny. We have a calling. And it's on us to make the decision whether we will embrace what you've given us to do. And I pray for every person in here that we would embrace the working of the Holy Spirit and who you are in our life. That we won't shy away from it, but that we'll lean into it. And so, Father, I speak life and blessing and encouragement over each and every one of us. And God, I just say, we need you. We need your power. We need you to move in our city. We need you to revive, God, the local church. And we need to be on mission, on point. Because, God, we don't want to just talk about it. We want to live it. We want to live it. We want to live it. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. If there's a person in here with every head bowed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, Jesus didn't come, man, to serve you and I up religion. He came for a personal relationship. If you're in here and you don't have a relationship with him, you can have a relationship today. Or if you're here and you've walked away from God or drifted from God, regardless of where you're at, and you realize, man, you're just not in the place you need to be, I'm talking to you. And in just a moment, we're going to say a prayer together. But if that's you, I want you to be bold. If you say, man, Kyle, that's me, I want you to raise your hand here in just a moment. And you raising your hand is not me singling you out, just saying, man, I want to join in that prayer today. That's me, Pastor. I want to join in that today. Come on, all over this place on the count of three. One, two, three. Put it real high. Come on. Don't be ashamed. That's it. Gotcha. Gotcha. Praise God. Yes, gotcha. Awesome. Come on, hands are going up, man. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. I just want to lead you in a prayer and just say, Jesus, come on, say this after me. Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Give me power to make the changes that I need to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.